Welcome to the Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Well, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Good morning. Sorry, I just had a very disturbing phone call I had to take here and kind of knocked me for a loop. Welcome to the Big Puzzle. And it's Friday morning. And first thing this morning, I kind of want to send my thoughts out to the people in Houston and Texas and the people that are being absolutely ravaged right now by this storm. The lives that have been lost, the property that's been damaged, the lives that have been turned upside down. My heart goes out to them today, and they're in my prayers. I did just have a disturbing call, guys, so excuse me for a second while I gain my thoughts here. I'm joined this morning by Chuck Ocelli, and first off, I want to thank Chuck for joining me. I know Chuck does 5 2-hour radio shows a week, and I want to thank him for taking an hour out of his day to join me this morning. He has a life of his own to live, and here he is joining me on a radio show when he should be looking after his little boy and taking care of things. So I got to thank Chuck for joining me. I talked to him the other night on his show, and I really wanted to carry on some conversations about some stuff we were talking about the other night. I'm just gaining my thoughts here, guys. Sorry, you'll have to excuse me for a sec.
Yeah, listen, Barry, if Chuck, you need to take...
Chuck, I just need a second here.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing me on. If you need to take a minute, believe me, I can run my mouth while you collect yourself, brother.
Would you mind running your mouth just for a minute, Chuck? I'm just going to mute out here, and I'm going to have to get on the phone here for about 30 seconds, guys, and I'll be right back, okay?
Do what you got to do, man. Do what you got to do. Of course, okay. It's real good to be able to talk to you guys on UCY.TV again. I appreciate Barry inviting me. Sure, had to send Frankie to go play for a little bit and do something. I mean, he is three now, so, you know, he can't go anywhere unattended, but we had to send him out because he is extremely loud and aggressive. That's what happens when you don't vaccinate your children. They actually have a little bit of life in them. So, I certainly am able to take the time today. Usually I don't do it this early in the day. I've complained to Sholly when I've come on here that, hey, it's morning time. And he goes, man, what time do you get out of bed? Well, I get out of bed at 7 in the morning, but, you know, because usually I'm getting hit with a toy or something very early, 7, 6, 5. I don't know, man. Sometimes the sun's up, sometimes it ain't. Sure, I do the 5-day week thing. I do that at my website now. That is where my show originates from. At one time, it used to originate right here at UCY.TV. Things change over the years, and, you know, that is the way it goes. Anyhow, it's definitely great to be on with you. I'm sure that addressing the situation in Texas is something that was on your mind. I certainly had a lot to say about it last night, the night before. Geez, the past couple of nights. I find it extremely remarkable. A couple of interesting things about this that I think are worthy of mentioning. First of all, I saw a lot of men. And I do mean to say men. I don't mean to say people. I mean to say men because I didn't see women doing it. And I'm not criticizing women. I'm merely stating what I observed. I saw lots of men step up and actually try and help out people of all sorts. You know, actually go in there and do something for others. Kind of rare. Not something that I saw widespread done when I was confronted with a little thing they called Sandy a couple of years back, and things were quite a bit devastated in the New York and New Jersey area. I was in one of those areas where we didn't have power for a long time, and there was a lot of flooding and damage and shutdowns. And of course, now they're telling us all about the gas prices, which are being jacked up currently because of the loss of use of refineries on the East Coast, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, just so you guys totally understand this, it's a complete money grab by the fuel oil companies. Usually what happens, and guess how I know this, because I used to work for Exxon and then later ExxonMobil when they merged together and I got my company stocks to split. But that was a long time ago when I still had, you know, skin in the game. Thing is that the gasoline that you see at the pumps is literally something that is manufactured about 90 days earlier. So that which is run through a refinery 3 months earlier is affected, is effectively delivered to you at the gas pump. That's about the timeline that one needs to understand about this. So when they're jacking up prices because of a recent refinery being shut down or there is a loss of something in the production line, generally speaking, this is actually ahead of the product literally costing the company more to deliver or the supply being literally challenged. Okay, that's the truth of it. Notice the gas prices always swing upward way ahead of when they swing downward and adjust for proper conditions. All right. So I just want to make that real clear as you see these stories about the national gas price rising in America, as you see, I'm in the state of Georgia where the gas price has definitely gone up in the past few days. All along the southeast, we're seeing jacked up gas prices. Obviously, there is a delivery and electricity problem in the Houston area. So you can see that, you know, there's going to be some price gouging there and there's going to be things like that that happen. But this is an excuse to jack up your fuel price while the price of oil has literally not ascended, you know, staying below $50 a barrel. So anyway. It is what it is. It seems as though Barry has recomposed himself because I'm hearing him click around in the background. And,
yeah, I'm back, Chuck.
You know, yeah, I came up with a little impromptu information about the fuel and the conditions that are being exerted because of the, you know, the disaster that's going on in Texas, you know, just with a little bit of background information. So yeah, no, sorry about that.
I want to get right into that with you today, Chuck. That was one of the things I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk about Irma. What I see developing with that storm just absolutely boggles my mind. My granddaughter had a bad fall this morning. Apparently, she had a real bad cut in her forehead, and she's at the hospital. She's going to need a few stitches, but everything's okay. But, of course, when my daughter calls me 1 minute before I'm going to go on the air in tears, it kind of just threw me for a loop. So, anyways, everything's going to be fine. After the show's over, I'll go down to the hospital and give them a big hug, and everything will be fine. Anyways, I'm back to normal now, okay, whatever normal is. But yeah, hey, there's crazy things going on right now, Chuck. I mean, I'm looking at this Irma, and I've watched the developments here this morning, and this thing absolutely has devastating potential. And it's kind of like they're going to kick the United States when it's already on its knees if this thing comes ashore. The projections have it going into the Caribbean, but they really don't know. I mean, hurricane tracks are changing like crazy all over the place. We have Harvey as an example of that. So where it's going to go, nobody knows for sure, but the projections right now have it coming into Florida, potentially. Florida, of course, is flat land, and a Category 5 hurricane hitting flat country like that, the storm surges are going to be incredible. So I really don't know what to make out of weather right now. Chuck, I'm just kind of sitting here going, wow. You've also got the one in the Gulf right now that has, well, last night it was about a 20% chance of developing into a hurricane. And this morning they're saying it's 30 to 35% chance that it's going to develop into a hurricane and come right into Houston with massive amounts of water. I'm going, what? Are you out of your mind? Wait a second. Houston can't take that.
Well,
so where's it all going, Chuck? This is insanity. It really is.
You know, every year there's an interesting season. We refer to it as hurricane season here on the East Coast. I guess they call it something else on the West Coast. It's fascinating. And look, you can't stop and tell Mother Nature, hey, you already hit this joint. Don't come back. Quite often, as a matter of fact, there's a follow-on storm of some sort. I've noticed over the years that these things come in batches a bit to certain areas. Again, I referenced having been through the Hurricane Sandy incidents. And one thing that people forget about is immediately following Hurricane Sandy, right about the time that recovery efforts had begun in the area, in New Jersey anyway, guess what happens? We were confronted with a nor'easter, is what they call it, where it dumps a whole lot of snow on the ground. This put a stop to everything once again, knocked power right back out. Doing lots of damage for people that, you know, wanted to do things like, oh, I don't know, cook, be able to operate in the dark and be able to pump gas out of the gas stations to be able to get places, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, let's not forget that the cell towers went down. This is something else to consider with this disaster. The cell towers go down, okay? Your water treatment plants go down. So now what's coming out of your tap, it might have had fluoride before, but God knows what's in it now, and who knows what the damage really is. Quite honestly, although we're confronted with all these interesting images, we have no idea what the true extent of the damage is. That's why I was talking about the civil engineering aspect of this on the show the other night and explaining that, gee, it's funny, in 2016, Houston knew that there was a flood issue before they got hit with a Category 4 storm. I look to, who's actually responsible and the fact that people did not move. And I consider the idea that there are individuals that have nowhere to go. Okay, that's going to happen. And unfortunately, this is what we're confronted with. But no matter what, you can't actually deny what the natural conditions are going to be. Here I'll go. I'll get myself in trouble. The climate is apparently changing because we're seeing, much stronger things like this occur. Now, Irma is interesting because it's already picking up steam and it's not even close to where it could pick up some more steam. From what I understand, again, not a meteorologist. I wish we had Jim Lee with us this morning, Barry.
I could call him in. I could ambush him.
Well, you could try and ambush him because he is great when it comes to monitoring these things and knowing exactly what's happening, and could articulate much, much better, I think, what it is we're talking about when we're looking at this thing, because I don't know the ins and outs of how this is going to play out. I mean, I do know this is the dangerous time of year, right? And this is all along, again, the East Coast. Generally, we don't see this kind of damage going into Texas. But we've been confronted with other storms that have hit, many different areas on the East Coast of the United States before. And, again, the damage has not been fully assessed. I don't care what figures people are telling you or how great of a job they say they're doing about anything. This is, quick time, try and cover, CYA real fast and and pull things together on the fly time.
Yeah, so, I'm no meteorologist, and I don't understand it myself, Chuck. It what we saw, like I was talking the other night on your show, I studied the tracks for multiple hurricanes over the last 15 years. And I think I looked at about 12 or 13, maybe even 14 different tracks just to get a real good consensus of what a hurricane should normally do. And Harvey, I've never seen anything that looks like the track that Harvey laid down. So to say that there isn't some kind of manipulation going on here, I think you'd really have to have your head in the sand. If you really wanted to cripple a nation like the United States of America, you would attack an area like Houston, because Houston produces 70% of the oil that the United States uses. So it, to me, I'm looking at this hurricane coming off the ocean. Like I said, I looked at it this morning. It's 120 mile an hour winds now, but the projections are for it to hit a category four, a five, when it hits landfall. And a category five is 165 to 175 mile per hour wind sustained. You know, most of the houses on the East Coast know that they're in hurricane country, and a lot of people have strong houses, but there's a great percentage of the population that are living in houses that aren't going to stand up to these kind of winds. So we're looking at another potential disaster coming in of epic proportions, buddy. It's kind of a interesting time we live in, Chuck, and to explain it, I'm at a loss to explain it. Like I said, I tried to call Jim. I should actually maybe message him last night, but I really kind of just wanted to chat with you for an hour. But Jim is, if people really want a source of information, you must go to Climate Viewer 3D. Jim Lee put together an incredible site. Anything you want to know in the world today going on, period, and I say that in a wide band, is on Climate Viewer 3D. So go have a look at his site.
Go ahead, Chuck. Right. Well, you know, and the other thing to consider is the floodwaters, much after the initial trauma delivered by the storm, have also caused problems. You got a state of emergency was declared in North Carolina. And there is a resonant effect on the supply chain for fuel. Now, again, people might say, why is he focusing on the fuel? well, let's remember how many people are actually self-sufficient when it comes to their own food. So this will challenge your food deliveries. This will challenge mobility. There's certainly going to be infrastructure damage to the already crumbling infrastructure, especially here in the Southeast. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, as you said, Irma is on its way. Now, I'm going to have to start figuring out how they coordinate these things, because I have this sneaking suspicion about Irma, and that is that it's going to sweep across the part of the Southeast that was not affected directly by Harvey. Mm-hmm. You know, here in Georgia, we saw a little bit of rain, but not a big deal. We didn't see massive flooding. Massive flooding could affect a state like Georgia pretty severely, could absolutely disappear a state like Florida, mm-hmm. you know, if it's on a massive enough scale. And, you know, here we go. Are we looking at a coordinated series of storms? I don't know. I don't speak to what it is. I don't fully recognize and understand, but does look awfully interesting and would do a lot of damage. Now, I don't know if this would be the thing to bring the United States to its knees, but certainly interesting that, you know, at a time of turmoil, in a lot of ways, we're being confronted with this, and a whole lot of other things that are happening are going to be lost in the news cycle sauce. So I wonder what this, you know, I wonder what's going to be conducted behind the scenes while we're very much distracted by the very, very serious human toll that's going to be taken by seemingly natural events, Barry.
Mm-hmm. What a great way to distract the public, eh, Chuck? If you wanted to distract the public, throw this at them, and they won't be looking at anything else for the next couple of weeks. And yeah, you're right. You know, for this, I'm looking at Irma again here this morning, and the projected track, it could actually hit the bottom end of Florida, and it could actually carry on right into the Gulf. And if that was to happen, the Gulf water temperatures right now are at all-time highs. It would gather strength, and then of course it would hit somewhere down there where they've just been hit. And if that happened, Chuck, I mean, I don't care if people are doing this, they should be really called out, because there's literally the potential for thousands of people losing their lives if this hurricane continues on the path they're projecting. It boggles my mind. And I'm kind of sitting here going, wow, what are we going to see next? You know, what else are they going to throw at us if they're throwing this at us by design? And I honestly, I have to tend to believe with your thought process there, Chuck, that this is just too much coming at one time, an overwhelming series of events that really have people kind of in a state of disarray, wouldn't you say?
Well, you know, and the other thing
is what it's supposed to do. Go ahead.
Exactly. And the other thing to consider is what I saw in the chat room just now from Buzzacino over there. There are floods going on in other countries. I mentioned this the other night. on my show, and it's not just the United States that's being hit by this stuff and has been continuously hit by it in recent memory. It's just that, quite honestly, it disappears down the news hole. You know, the memory hole of news, right? The breakneck speed news cycle that we're being confronted with a whole bunch of nonsense, political hand-wringing, and ridiculous distraction. It disappears, but the fact is that this is an international concern, and seems to me like the whole population is being challenged by this stuff. Now, it may not be every single place on the planet. But there are lots of other places that, you know, you and I talked about this the other night where, you know, let's be honest, there's some places where some darker skinned people seem to disappear in floodwaters and nobody gives a damn. Exactly. You know, that's exactly the reality of that.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, these floods that are going on around the world right now, people should punch them up on the internet and have a look at the massive floodings we've seen worldwide in the last 45 days, and it will really bring to your mind the context of what we're saying here. We're not just seeing this in the United States. We're seeing this all over the world right now. They're talking Syria alone is seeing a 500-year event. Iran is getting flooding they've never, ever seen before in their history. Same thing's happening in Mumbai. There's about 18 different places right now that have seen massive flooding. But you're right, Chuck. It doesn't get any exposure on mainstream. You might hear the odd clip about it for a couple seconds, and then that's it. It's buried. Yet there's thousands of people dying over there right now in these floods. And what a travesty that we don't pay more attention to that and focus our attention on that just because they happen to be a different color of skin than us. We don't give it the attention that it should get. Well, and it really, like I said, it brings into context really what's going on worldwide right now with flooding, Chuck. It's really kind of mind-boggling.
Well, after all, you know, look, we got the latest truck that plowed through a crowd or the latest car that plowed through a crowd somewhere, you know, to keep us distracted. Or maybe when the Queen decided to go visit the site of, you know, a bunch of poor people getting burned to death in a tower, you know, maybe it's just of great interest that the Crown and the Queen had to ride in separate cars. You know, stuff like this over there in Europe, I find that fascinating. But meanwhile, you know, what did Agent Orange decide to tweet today? This is of greater interest than anything else, right? Hey, you know, is it racism to do this or that or the third thing? Because you got to give the time to the social justice warriors, and suddenly anarchists have uniforms. So, you know, between the anarchists, the Nazis, the other people out there that are trying to stir the pot one way or another, and hey, don't forget about our friend Panic Attack Jones over there at Jonestown, because he needs a little bit of attention here and there. You know, hey, there's plenty to distract you. And besides, isn't football on anyway, Barry? I mean, yeah, I don't know.
I don't. Is it World Series time? What is going on with baseball? Is that over now, or like, where are we? It's September. No, baseball's still going.
Yeah, baseball's still. I haven't watched baseball in a long time,
Chuck. I haven't watched a professional sports game now, honest to God, in 2 years. And I was one of these guys that used to love watching hockey games and baseball. I'd follow this, follow that. 2 years now, I couldn't tell you who's winning what and who. I couldn't even tell you who won. Well, I think who won the Stanley Cup this year. I think it was Pittsburgh again. I think they won it again, I heard. But that's what I could tell you about hockey. And what I could tell you about baseball, I wouldn't be able to tell you who's winning or who's on first. Go ahead.
Well, I gotta tell you, I'm totally shocked that a Canadian watches hockey. But you know, I mean, I'm at this point where occasionally I like to catch a boxing match. I didn't catch the big one recently. But you know, it is what it is to me. You know, of course, the most corrupt business sport there is. It actually gives you one of the most honest, you know, athletic competitions there is. Mm-hmm. So there you go. On occasion, I do like to watch a gladiatorial event. Why not? They're giving us bread and circus. We might as well get the gladiators, you know. And again, speaking of the circus, here we go. Right. We're down another rabbit hole. And this is the way it goes. This is the way it goes.
Well, Chuck, if you keep them entertained, they will never look over here.
Well, isn't that the point, right?
Exactly.
Isn't that the point? Exactly. So Barry, let's break the hypnosis for a moment and try and get into something that's really eating at people. They could tune to any of the MSMs to talk about the storm damage, the individuals who are actually stepping up and being real human beings. Although I did love the comment from those that wanted to immediately raise the specter of, hey, I'm sure the free market will help out every single person that's been devastated by this storm. Because, you know, after all, that's what the free market does, right? Help out those who are hurting. I will give it to Anheuser-Busch, though, for actually suspending beer production long enough to put out some cases of canned water and send it on down there. I'll give it to them for that little piece of PR that they constructed and good work they did. But outside of that, you know, do you honestly think that those who are obsessed with the profit margin are going to help out their fellow man without a price tag attached to it? I don't think so. So, you know, get ready for that whole debate. That's going to go on while we're facing, what, another budget crisis in the U.S., the debt ceiling's coming, Trump wants his wall. I mean, here we are, Barry.
Yeah, billions of dollars being pulled out of the U.S. stock market by foreign investors. Our economy is virtually in without. I'm not an expert in this at all, but you probably know a lot more about economies than I do, Chuck. But and I know you get some incredible people on that really follow this, but we know that we're in a very, very dire situation as far as economies go, that would take nothing virtually right now to collapse the dollar. So all kinds of interesting things going on.
It is a bad sign when it's a matter of public record that the Rothschilds' concerns have literally been pulled out of the U.S. economy. That, to me, looks like a real impending sign of doom. Because, you know, if they're not able to profit at the moment, that means they pulled out of the market so they can buy back in after a crash. That's usually the pattern. So I'm wondering if that's what's coming now. I'm usually not the guy who talks about the collapse of the dollar, and anybody that thinks that there's going to be a legitimate, you know, reset to a gold currency, you've lost your minds. That's for sure. There's no reason to give you something legitimate when they can continuously push down your throat the fictitious construct of the digital currency that exists now. So this is the way it is. Now, I again state, what is going to be the impact of the disasters on the economy? Is this going to be what is to blame now for the controlled demolition that I do believe is being set in motion? I think we're going to see a very serious downturn in the U.S. economy, and therefore the conditions by which most of us are here under Plantation America. I think that we're going to see a downturn very, very soon. And, you know, I'm not happy about it. I'm not the guy who usually sounds the doom whistle, but, you know, I can't deny what I see coming.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chuck. You're not, I've known you for years, and you're not one to really sound an alarm bell unless you really, deep down inside feel that you're looking at something that really has the potential of coming to fruition. And I feel the same way. I see a kind of an allegory of events that, if they were put together, could really, I don't want to use that phrase again, but I'm going to bring America to its knees financially, through the distribution systems of the ports. If this hurricane does the unthinkable and come into the Gulf, and I'm not saying it's going to, but if it did, the devastation would be unheralded in human history, Chuck. So I just hope we don't see that happen, but we definitely have some serious issues going on right now. And where it all is going, Chuck, I'm not sure. We could get into conspiracy theories. We could get into biblical prophecies. We could get in all kinds of aspects about talking about what is coming right now to the human race. But I see all kinds of crap coming. And I'm not one of these guys. I don't want to ever be considered to be a fearmonger. I hate that word. I really don't consider myself a fearmongering type of individual, but I got to look at things realistically. I got to look at things with a common sense approach, and common sense tells me right now that the spiraling events that weather-wise could really have a major, like you said, a major impact on U.S. economies and henceforth world economies. We're tied into your economy at the hip, Chuck. So if American economy goes down the tubes, we're right behind you. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, as we've discussed many times on many shows, the Canadian economy is an inexorably connected to the U.S. economy. I do feel as though there might be a way for you guys not to go down with the ship, but again, if the Rothschilds are jumping off of the leaky ship, you know, when you see the rats leaving, you ought to take it as a sign. That's all I'm saying about that. what else can we say, right?
Well, the rats are jumping off the ship, and you know, the stock market's paying attention to this. We're going to see some ripple down effects here in the next couple of weeks that really could have an impact on economies. And like, I hope things actually don't go the way I see things are going, Chuck. I really hope it all turns around and everything comes back to normal and life just goes on. But being realistic about what I see, I can't say that. So I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss right now, Chuck. I really am. I kind of knew in my heart that, you know, one day these terrible things were going to come to the human race. And we see it in geological events. We see it right now with the amount of earthquakes we're experiencing worldwide, the increase in earthquake activity. It seems like the world is very, very unstable right now, right down to the core. I know that I was studying pole shifts the other night and really looking at some hardcore scientists talking about this information, the effect that's having on our planet, on our navigation systems, on animals, how they navigate off the poles, and how fast the poles are actually moving right now. So it seems like we're really into some interesting times, Chuck. I hope that we can do this show in a couple of years from now still, to be quite honest. But who knows?
Well, here I want to push back against you, because I hope in a couple of years that I have nothing better to do but spin records or something, man. I would certainly love to just be like a rock DJ and chill out and have a good time. I really would. Unfortunately, there's too many things to speak to. There's too much corruption of power. There's too much contamination of the planet, of the people, and there's too much propaganda to be, well, you know, destroyed. This is what needs to happen, and unfortunately, it's left to the independent media that remains, much such as it is. It is left to those of us who absolutely insist on being independent. You know, and what else can you say? This is not much different than it was a couple of years ago, except that, you know, now instead of having the, you know, the dreaded, fishy CIA-based president who, you know, was pretty well packaged to be sold to certain people in this country, they packaged a TV reality star and, sold it to a slightly dumber population. And here we go. There's your mass distraction while the real work gets done and the real kleptocracy continues unabated. And again, this is just the U.S. concern. As you know, I've gone into great depths with what's happening in the UK. And funny how it seems like, you know, we're not only speaking the same language, but Agenda 21 continues to rhyme across the Atlantic Ocean. This is nothing new once again, but it does seem to be accelerating. And you're wondering where it's all leading. You know, this is what I'm left with. I want to start to talk about happier things. I want to start to talk about, you know, the good stuff I see. I'd love to tell you the story about how last night there was suddenly a stray random chicken in my yard. And, you know, and I had to take my boy outside to see the chicken. And I'd love to tell you that story because that's the best thing I have to offer you today. But I'm not going to. Because we have a whole lot of other crap to sift through, don't we? And there's only so many hours in the day.
I feel the same way. There's, you know, there's days I get up, Chuck, and honest to God, I would love to just forget about all this, go sit on the river and go fishing. Because I used to do that a lot more than I do now, but I find myself compelled to keep looking down the rabbit holes and trying to share information with people, because we do see an allegory of events coming. And I just like people to be aware that, you know, this could potentially change, things could potentially change. And I said, you know, a couple of years from now, Chuck, well, really, if I look at the attacks on free speech right now in our society, the attacks on the internet, how they're quashing alternative media, the all-out attack on it, where's it going to go in a year? Where's it go in a couple of years from now? I hope we're able to talk like this, but who knows? They're attacking us from every direction right now, Chuck, and that's a fact. So where it's all going, and can it be stopped? I can't answer that question. But well, to say that we're not being attacked, it's a fact that we are being attacked. So go ahead. You're probably experiencing the same thing. Go ahead.
No, we certainly are, and I'm seeing interesting stuff go down, with the grand Google, matrix. Mm-hmm. For sure, they have definitely tried to quash and marginalize a lot of the material that I'm familiar with and involved with. And I know that personally, but that's been going on now for the past couple of years incrementally. Now, what I find interesting and funny at this point is they're actually shutting down a lot of stuff that isn't according to script. There's various independent people who are out there who are not concerned with politics or social issues per se. They're focused on very narrow topics that you would not think are even remotely controversial that are also getting pushed aside. It's very weird, but I think the independent media in general is getting sanitized, and it doesn't matter if they're truth speakers or if they're just, the more extreme idiot right wingers, or if they're just the more extreme idiot bleeding heart liberals who can't possibly articulate a coherent position on anything. It doesn't matter if they're speaking off script, that you're getting hit. Mm-hmm. YouTube is a perfect example of it. It's been like an apocalypse against anybody who was earning a little bit of money and actually getting a little bit of traction by having their videos get around and all that. They use the algorithms to choke off everything from my stuff to guys who do critiques of the Walking Dead TV show. This is literally what's going on. And the only thing that is allowed to prosper now is the mundane, repetitious, stupid, and reposts of, again, MSM, government and corporate approved nonsense. That's the only thing that's being allowed to flourish. So unless we have our own independent platforms, we support each other best we can and begin to cooperate with each other a lot more instead of trying to choke each other off because we disagree with, each other's positions. So now, you become the grand enemy. Unless we stop doing that very, very soon, we're going to find ourselves very much isolated on our own little islands and just waiting for the hurricane to come and finish us each off one by one. That's what I see happening, and it's just driving me crazy because I feel like I tried to start explaining this to people when in 2016, before the election, 6-8 months before, there was a shutdown of my stuff and some other people that were similar to me. And they really just they crushed us. You're not getting out in the search engines. Your YouTube videos can't be posted. If they are, they're taken down. They're banned in most countries. Stuff like that went on. And they did not release my ability to even utilize, these platforms where allegedly I'm a content provider until, guess what? The day after the selection process was done. Okay. I found that fascinating, and I also found it fascinating that there were people just like me, in a way. I mean, there's hardly anybody that takes exactly the positions I do, but, people that are similar to me that experienced almost exactly the same thing. Right. But now, it's getting worse, and now there are people crying that, hey, look, it's just corporate greed, and it may be on some level. But I think that there is a much larger agenda afoot here, and I think it is literally to create a scenario where just like television at one point, there used to be independent television.
Well, that was many years ago, Chuck.
Oh, I know that. But literally, I mean, there were UHF stations that had, little things in their basements where there were studios. I mean, before there was even cable access in your local towns. I know that still exists in some places. But you could literally go on there and produce something so long as you adhered to the broadcast standards in any way, shape or form. Right. I mean, there were people that would go on there and talk about the local music scene. I used to love those going from town to town. There was always like one guy who was in his parents' basement who was telling you about the bands at the bars around the corner. I used to love that sort of stuff. But eventually, OK, the television media got sanitized and streamlined. And I think that attempt right now is going on with the Internet. It's going to be much harder. But even podcasting is going to become more and more difficult. I mean, sure, you'll be able to create it, but you're not going to be you're not going to have even ability one to get it out there. You're not going to have these broadcast platforms that we have now, because they're going to be, you know, disappeared. They might as well be, you know, on the dark web at this point, because nobody's going to be able to find them. This is where we're going unless we do something about it. And I'm not sure what the solution is, because I'm not a grand tech guy. I think it's a technical, you know, point that needs to be made. But I also think it's a cooperative point that if we were a large enough organism, so to speak, you know, every bacteria doesn't have to agree with every skin cell in your body, but they can work together. All right. I think if we began to do that as independent media, you know, maintaining our own autonomy as we go forward, we might be able to solve something here. But, you know, but try and get five of us in a damn chat somewhere to talk about something and watch what happens. You know, it's amazing, isn't it?
It is. I mean, you know, we're seeing that in Canada big time. I mean, what you like them or don't like them, the rebel media in Canada now has about 240 to 260,000 people a day tuning in to listen to their reports. They've applied to the CRTC in Canada four or five times to get access to normal cable stations. And, of course, they've been denied. I'm on sites here in Canada, Chuck, that follow Justin Trudeau like a hawk, and multiple videos now being posted against anything that would be considered negative for Justin Trudeau are being removed. I went and tried to look at about four yesterday, and all it's telling me is this video has been removed. I'm really seeing an acceleration on attack. It's scary, and we've got to address this, because we don't cut this off at the bud right now. There's the old saying, if you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile, and they're going to take a mile on us, then one day we might not be able to have these conversations, Chuck. We've got to stop this.
Well, see, now, when I look at the rebel media, I got to tell you that that's a sort of a different situation, because, again, I don't believe anybody should be forced to do business with people they don't want to do business with, right? Here's where I come in as the almost free market sounding guy. Fact is, I don't think anybody should be forced to do business with anybody, not at all. You know, so they're kind of a different situation, man.
They are, but I'm what I'm pointing out here, Chuck, is that there is a lot of Canadians now that want to see this, what they're saying. Now, if this station was put on regular cable stations and people could access it better than they can right now, I think you'd see their audience going up. I mean, a lot of things they say I don't agree with, but they do actually talk about information in Canada that no other station will touch. And I have listened to their reporters. Like I said, I don't agree with everything they say, but a lot of the stuff they talk about and a lot of things they bring forward resonates with me. So I just would love to see unlimited access to that station, yet we're not seeing it in Canada. The CRTC has blatantly turned down their application three or four times now without an explanation. So we know something nefarious is going on behind the scenes. People would love, I think you'd see more people tuning in to listen to them, because they do bring out hardcore facts about the Trudeau government. They follow Trudeau like a hawk. Everything he does, every move he makes, every illegal crap that he's doing in our country, every treasonous act this guy does, they expose to the public, and you'll never see that on CBC or CTV or any of the corporate media stations. That's all I'm saying, bud.
I understand, but you know what I find interesting, and I'm going to stick to this topic for a second. What I find interesting here, though, is that everybody's got an agenda, and quite honestly, the rebel media has a very serious, nasty slant. And I witnessed what it is that you took from one of their reports about the reform of the Child Protective Services in Canada. Now, I sat there and I started reading this bill, okay, and I got, I don't know, about 100 pages in, and I stopped. And you know why? Because I realized that no matter what I said, you know, people were going to latch on to the propaganda outlet from one side or the other. You know, this was going to be the good thing, according to, you know, your CBCs and whatever. And this was going to be the, you know, the absolute decline of your civilization, according to the rebel media. And realistically, when you objectively view what was going on in that bill, you know, neither is true. OK, what they did is they were talking about reforming the situation with the Child Protective Services up there, and there's a lot of details in there that nobody's paying any sort of attention to, and you can't find half of the references that people are making either on the mainstream or with Rebel Media, which is extremely right-wing. You know, they are not even objectively viewing the documentation. They're presenting a 1,000-page document as if it's got these three key phrases in it, okay, without actually putting them in context, which, you know, I tell you, read the whole document for yourself, put the reports aside, put the propaganda aside from either alleged side of the equation up there, and objectively read that document. Because when I was
You're talking about Bill C-89.
Yeah, yeah. I started reading through it, and I'm like, this has not been represented anywhere accurately. Okay? I scanned through Canadian media to see if anybody brought up a couple of the key interesting points that I saw in the legislation once I sat down and started to, you know, literally read it. Okay. And it was like just a complete misrepresentation. Am I saying it's a good thing? No, there's some good and bad in that bill. There's people that are going to be held a lot more accountable for, you know, for losing track of things, for not, you know, staying on certain cases. And as much as I hate government intervention, there is a necessity on occasion for this. You know, our children are our children, okay? But they're not there for the, you know, the psychopathic and disturbed among us to destroy. You know, I don't object to the, you know, the government agencies coming in when, you know, there is no other resort. You know, and here we go. Again, not a popular position to take in alternative media. But, I mean, there are literally parents who are destroying their children. Who, yeah, the government's not going to do them much better, but they're going to keep them alive. You know, at least under this bill, it looks like the responsibility to keep them alive is at least being reinforced a bit. And that, it surprised me that you needed legislation to do that, first of all. But, you know, holding these people more accountable is interesting. You know, if you're going to have a grand government structure, at least the people should be held accountable that are operating within it. So, again, not saying that I agree with the government being the, you know, the nanny state or anything like that. I'm just saying that if you're going to have these facilities, yeah, holding people accountable and making sure that there are standards that are enforced on a national level, not such a bad idea if you're going to have the thing in the first place. You know, if people would step up in their own communities and, you know, police themselves collectively, if they would, you know, look out for their neighbors, not only when they're in trouble, but also come together. Remember what I was talking about with Alan Kay on the show, right? The reason why we have no, you know, no ability for communities to survive through certain situations is because there's no coherent communication. Okay. So first of all, we need to communicate with each other on a local level, and we would eliminate the need for any of these organizations to have to legislate a damn thing. And then you can go to them and say, look, we handle this ourselves, you know, and we don't need you. All right. But so long as people are going to sit there and put their feet on each side of that fence and say, well, look, well, sometimes we need you and sometimes we don't. Well, you know, what do you expect? They're going to build something, and at least holding people accountable would be sensible. Now, the way I just explained that, Barry, do I sound like an irrational lefty, or what am I talking about here?
I hear where you're coming from, Chuck, and I'm listening to your point of view on this. I share a little bit different point of view of a government intrusion into our families. I think that government don't belong in the house. I believe that parents should be and totally responsible for the way the child's brought up. I don't believe that government should have influence on a child's thinking. What we're seeing in Canada and through all our school systems, we're seeing the allowance of Islam as a religion to be propagated to our children. We're seeing all kinds of things that contradict our Charter of Rights and Freedoms, yet we don't talk about those. We talk about those.
Okay.
Go ahead. You go ahead and say what you're going to say, Chuck, and I'll give you my opinion on it.
Well, no, but the intrusion of Islam, Christianity, or any of these religious organizations into my home should not be there at all.
They should not be allowing this to go on, Chuck.
Okay. But you see how we go into a different direction. I'm talking about situations where, and you say, okay, there's no way that they should ever intrude. All right, fine. What about, you know, there are fathers that are sitting there having sex with their daughters. You know, there are kids that are being abused severely. Now, the community is not addressing it. The family members don't address it. So that should just be allowed to go on. You don't want anybody to ever step in those cases either. You know, let's talk about the practical applications here, because you go into Islam and everything else. This drives me nuts, you know, because it's such a deep hole to go into. And I will go there if you want. But I'm talking about, what about those who don't know how to conduct themselves? So, you know, it's just the luck of the draw. You got parents that are going to, you know, screw you and beat you to death. Oh, well, the government should never intrude. I mean, is that your position, you know, completely, or what?
Well, my position is that society's come to a point where parents aren't capable of raising their children. Is that where we are as a society? Have our families become so unstable that we're dealing with all these issues inside the family? Well, what's causing all these issues? Why are families not like they used to be when I grew up? Because, you know what, none of this crap went on when I was 10 or 15 years old that I was aware of. I mean, I never saw the stuff that I see going on inside of families now. So really, what is the root cause of the problem? We can talk about the surface of the problem, what we're seeing right now and all these different conflicts, but we really kind of get down to the root of the problem and what has come into our families that are dividing our families the way we see it today. And that, you know, that's a very deep rabbit hole. I know that's a conversation we could have for an hour, Chuck, about why we see the divisions in our family we see today. You know, there's an old saying that if you divide the family, you'll divide the country. If you destroy the family, you destroy the country. And what we're seeing now is the destruction of the family unit. However you want to call it, that is what is happening in our society today. I look at all different factors and why our family is being pulled apart. I mean, so that's a subject we can get into, a very deep subject. I brought in Islam because the same people that are bringing in these agendas in our school are the same people that are laying out bills like C-89. Now, I'm going to go back and read it, but I read some phrases in that bill, and I have a bad memory for this kind of stuff. Like, I got to be honest, Chuck, but I read three or four statements in that bill that absolutely disturbed me, a direct intrusion in the family. And I think there should be a line. I'm sure there's situations where children are being abused. That should be investigated, absolutely. And if those parents aren't stable parents, absolutely, there should be something there as a protective mechanism for the children. But the intrusions, I look at the CORE program as an example in the United States of America. I kind of studied that. I'm not an expert on it, but really what it is, it's indoctrinating our children into being robots. And that's what I see happening in our school systems here. And that's what I talk against, okay? So it's kind of, to me, it's all part of the same thing. It's like a little piece of the puzzle over here that doesn't look like much, but when we add it to these other pieces, it really represents an intrusion into the family. Go ahead.
Well, right, but I think it's a bit naive to say that, you know, only nowadays is the family unit being destroyed, because during the course of my entire lifetime, there has not been a coherent American family unit. You know, realistically, on the whole, we've seen nothing but the rise of divorces. You have plenty of single parents. The family unit is you know, a fairy tale from the past, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, maybe and I was born in the 40s and 30s. And how was the American family?
Yeah, but I was born in the 1970s, right? Okay. So I'm talking about what I can observe. Okay. And what I can observe is, you know, people who talk about, well, gee, 20 years ago it wasn't like this, they're lying to themselves. This was like this. It just wasn't reported, wasn't talked about, and wasn't praised as, you know, normal. What's happened is it's become normalized, just like a lot of other things have become normalized. And look, the family unit can vary. Okay, you can have various constructs of it where, look, yes, indeed, there are single parents that do a hell of a lot better job than two morons that have no idea what it is they're doing to their children. You know, various types of indoctrination into all sorts of stupid go on and destructive things, you know, and not the least of which, of course, is the chemical attacks on kids. Children, excuse me, I don't even like to use the term kids, but the chemical attack on children that occur, you know, before they even get to speak their first word, you know, that are out there with the vaccines, with the use of metals as anti-clumping agents in baby formula. I mean, for God's sake.
The list goes on and on.
The list goes on and on and on. But what I'm saying is, you know, the family unit, this thing, I don't know when it actually existed in history. Because my entire time on this planet, it has not been here coherently. Now, did it exist maybe in the 50s or the 60s? Or maybe was it that there are some people that were ignorant of the idea that this was going on? I don't know. Statistics tell you that over time, this has begun to disintegrate. Now, does that mean that, you know, some people immediately go, well, does that mean you don't believe the women's movement is, you know, a valid thing? Well, on one level it is, and on one level it's not. Because it has absolutely been hijacked and utilized to, you know, to, in my estimation, twist women away from their natural gifts and powers to be women. And it has also distorted the role of the male in society in general. Mm-hmm. So, you know, listen, you want to break it all the way down. How are you going to have a coherent family unit when you don't, when people don't identify themselves as men or women anymore?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I'm saying. This is, you know, these changes in our society didn't come in overnight. These have been brought in over years and years and years. But I remember my childhood very, very well. I remember growing up at 6, 7, 8 years old in downtown Toronto, and I could go 3, 4 blocks away from my house. I never feared. I knew everybody on the street. Everybody knew everybody. I can go in that same neighborhood today and nobody knows anybody. People living beside their neighbor don't know them, period. And that's the breakdown I'm seeing in society, where we used to be a coherent unit, that neighbors used to actually look after themselves, take care of their kids. I was being watched by my neighbors. If my parents wanted to find me and I wasn't around, they get on the phone 2 or 3 people, boom, they'd find me and they'd send me home. You'd have to call at night to get me in the house. And now you can't walk the streets in Toronto at night for fear of your life. And you're living in a society that it is so... Nobody talks to each other anymore, Chuck, is what I'm trying to point out, is that, you know, we say all this is great. I mean, you know, sure, we have immigrants, nothing wrong with immigration. But now we have a society where people cannot get together and face a small issue or a big issue, period, because they're in their own little worlds. You don't know your neighbor. Go ask anybody sitting here. Do you know your neighbor? Some people will say, yeah, but a majority will say no. That's all I'm trying to say, buddy. And those changes have come over the, I see them really kind of amping up here in the last 30, 40 years of my life, because I've watched the changes. I'm like 63 now, I'm a few years older than you, but I really, my childhood resonates with me, the way that our whole neighborhood in a city like Toronto now, Toronto's a dangerous city to live in now, but back then it was a great place, man. I could go anywhere, do anything, and nobody ever worried about anything. Now it's completely changed. Go ahead.
Well, do you think perhaps, I mean, because when we take a look at the statistics, again, statistical analysis being what it is, do you think it's a possibility that it is literally the fear that has locked people down? Because, quite honestly, I don't see a serious uptick in people disappearing nowadays versus when the population was lower. It seems as though law enforcement has a great many tools, and here we go. As much as I hate the constant and continuous surveillance grid, this indeed has been helpful in making sure people don't disappear and get lost too often. You know, and look, I saw a point made in the chat room, which I appreciate, the fact that there were various government agencies that turned around and lost the people they were charged with taking care of. Yeah, I get it. I get it that they're inefficient, ridiculous, and there is other things going on there. Certainly, again, I mean, we saw what happened with the reform of the Child Protective Services in New Jersey, and I'm no fan of Child Protective Services or the government. Believe me, these people are a disaster, too. It's not safe to send them there, but that doesn't excuse or come up with a solution for what do you do with people that want to behave like animals with their own children. This is the thing. What do you do with that? You just let it happen? Oh, well, survival of the fittest? I'm just saying, I'm not saying I have the solution. I'm just saying that this needs to be addressed. That's all.
Chuck, and we're down to the last minute. Real quick, Chuck, plug your show real quick. We've got about 30 seconds left here.
All right.
Plug your show real quick.
Ocelli.com. You can go there, OCHELLI.com.
Thanks, Chuck. Great show, buddy. See you, folks.